Ford owner and Ram, this is a Radio 30 entitled Feel the Power, Ram, Radio 30, code CRNRRB22E00. This is Full Stream Mix. You're on 8-29-22.
Hurry into Ram Power Days and experience the raw power of the Ram 3500. With available best-in-class torque and towing among 350 3500 pickups when properly equipped. Strap yourself in for one powerful ride in the Ram TRX. With the most horsepower of any gas pickup ever built. Or the Ram 1500, awarded number one in driver appeal among light-duty pickups by J.D. Power 3 years in a row. Hurry into Ram Power Days going on now. For J.D. Power 2022 U.S. award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this October 10th, Monday, 2022. And, he turns the knobs, and he pushes the buttons, and he answers the phone. He does all those things to make Joe and I look good. None other than Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody. And I try.
You do. You did a good job. And so I just wish Joe would mention that now and then to you that you're doing a good job. And there we go, way out yonder.
Oh, he does.
In Missouri.
The for Pastor Ernie is with you, folks, for another week now.
All right. We got a lot to talk about, and as you can tell, folks, that's none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
Yes. And so, I hear a child of his kingdom, and forever I am.
Amen. And we have a lot to hit tonight. I mean, as we always do, and Joe, I mean, as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, more and more things are happening. Like it tells you in Daniel chapter 3, everything's going to be happening faster, and it is. I have right now about 100 articles here, sitting right here in front of me, about 100, I mean, covering all these different things. And we sit here, we have some very good people working with us, researching these articles, checking them out, making sure they're legit. And, wow, it is so much going on. So,
but, I got more in 1 6-hour period this weekend than we used to get sometimes in a week, 2 weeks, or more.
But you know what makes our program much, much, much different than most talk shows? Here's what it is, Joe. We start out with the absolute perfect, inerrant, most authoritative source of information in existence.
Right.
And
knowledge
so,
and information. Right.
So we start out right, don't we?
We definitely do. We start with God's Word every radio program, and we end with a call for everyone to come to the Lord, invitation.
So the title, do you know, remember the title of tonight's program?
The title's interesting, very interesting. Devil's Diary.
The Devil's Diary. Before we get started, I wanted to say last night we had Pastor Bill Grady at the church, He put on an excellent, excellent presentation. It was really good. And for all the folks that were there, they were really, well, they really were impressed and with his knowledge. And but here's an interesting thing, Joe. He goes to two or three churches, you know. Well, yesterday he was at three of them, okay? But he goes to several churches a week. He just travels around the country going to church, 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 speaking. And he asks questions, and normally he expects a certain, you know, response from people out there because quite a, you know. Now, the churches he goes to, most of them, they're biblically literate, but...
He shocks a lot of people, in other words.
With what is happening, the knowledge that's taking place, things that are happening out there that nobody knows about. Because he says he's used to getting the you know, the deer in the headlights look when he asks certain questions. But last night, as he was letting them through, people were answering the questions they knew. And he said, he said, this is the first church I've ever been to where I've had the people that had, that are so well informed as this church is here. He says, he told the people in here, you need to really thank the pastors of this church for keeping you informed in all of these different areas and things that are happening. Of course, we do that. That's one of our major points that we do. And sometimes we have 2 hours of, we have an hour class. We have 2 hours classes in the morning. In the afternoon, another hour class, and then either 1 or 2 hour classes from 4 to 6, depending on the topic. But it's the Bible and how the Bible interacts and applies to current events. And
which
so,
is what this ministry has done for the 50 years you've been on the radio.
Absolutely. Where everything, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, oh my, how didn't we tell you that before? In fact, we'll be into some of that tonight. I mean, if you go back on this radio program all the way back into the Reagan years, but not Reagan, it was after Reagan, actually Daddy Bush, when they were talking about making the America, combining Mexico, the United States, and Canada as one country.
I remember that.
And so all of a sudden, that's the big stuff in the news today, that this has been discovered. We talked about that all the way back then.
Discovered?
Yeah, this has been... Well, you'll hear in the clip that we're playing that some of this stuff is exposed, but let's start tonight with, again, the title, The Devil's Diary. Now, Joe, just recently I had... Well, you heard about Anne Frank's diary, the diary of Anne Frank's, how exposed the things that happened and in Nazi Germany. And then just recently I had a story where a fellow, just by chance, a businessman who owned a large business corporation, came across his wife's diary. And while she was gone and she had left something out, somehow he found her diary. And he started reading it, thought it would be interesting. And it started out, you know, when he was reading how it talked about the early days, and he was talking about, you know, bringing back fond memories. But then he's reading, and his wife has a lover. His wife is she's cheating on him, but not only is she cheating on him, but her and her lover are planning on getting rid of him, okay, and taking over the corporation, the business. And so there was a lot in that diary. A lot of things were exposed in that diary there. And it was, things like that don't happen by accident. That's God's intervention.
Right.
That's the Lord's intervention. And so here, if Satan was to write a diary, well, in a sense, Joe, he has. In a sense, he just hasn't published it, and we'll take a look at that as we go through tonight's scripture.
But God, knowing all, has revealed it to us through his word, right?
Absolutely. Now, if the devil were to publish his diary, you would expect to find, well, the accuracy and truthfulness to be about as credible and as accurate as the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax, or even the Hunter Biden laptop from hell debacle, you know, as told by the fake, what they call mainstream media.
Right. Russian disinformation.
But you would probably read that Satan has every intention of stealing the throne from God, the way Joe Biden stole the presidency from President Donald Trump. And let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, and we start in verse 12. So read verse 12 all the way through verse 20. Read verse 12 through 20.
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and shall consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that were slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seeds of evildoers shall never be renounced.
All right, so we start out in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which just weakens the nations? Do we see him weakening, doing the same thing to this very day? Do we see a satanic activity on the increase?
Oh, yes. All over the world. We see increase of, even the Catholic Church talks about the increase of driving out demons and devils. Just everywhere you look, there's more Satan, people, churches, worship.
Well, he says here, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Do you think, again, if he was keeping the diary, he might put that in the diary? He said, I will exalt my throne, now listen, above the stars of God. And so his throne is where he's planning on ruling. The stars of God are the angels of heaven. Those are the angels of heaven. Now, the only one that has authority and power over the angels of heaven is God himself, huh?
Exactly. We see that in chapter 12 there in Revelation. There was another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads, 10 crowns, 7 crowns, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. He took angels with him. A third of heaven joined him in rebellion against God.
Right. Now, one of the things we have to always remember, the Bible is not in chronological order.
Right.
It's not. If it was, you know, if you try to understand it in chronological order, then you end up with a dog's breakfast of doctrine, okay?
You get very, very confused quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that's another message. Let's stick with this tonight. So here he says, and I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, that's the third heaven. That's where that's God's throne room. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He thinks he's gonna sit there in God's throne and take the place. But that's wishful thinking at the least, right?
Now, does Satan have access to the third heaven today?
Well, we know back in the Old Testament he went and came into the third heaven and God asked him what he was doing about he was going to and fro upon the earth. So
well,
does he have it today? I don't know.
No, he doesn't. You see,
he
didn't have access to the third heaven. He was called, just like today. Did you ever have one of the teleconferences where you sit there and you're present, but you're not in the same location? Well,
right.
God's technology is far superior to that. And so when it says here that he called the angels before him, okay, when God assembled the angels, they were all over. You got the first, the second, the third heaven. And Satan also came. In other words, he was there in the presence in the sense that all of the angels that were there before God could hear what he was saying. And so Satan, he would defile the third heaven. You can't have anything that would defile the third heaven to have him in there because he has been cast down out. And so here now, he goes on to say, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. There you go. The word heights there, it's an interesting thing because in the Hebrew, that word, Joe, is Obama. It's Obama.
Yeah.
It's spelled
U-G, isn't it?
U-G-B-A-M-A. Yeah, U-G. Yeah. U-G-B-A-M-A, okay. And
called the elevated one or the heights.
Right. Right. Obama means the elevated one. And now the primary, see, you always have primary and secondary definitions of things throughout the Bible, okay? The primary definition is the elevated one. The elevated one is God himself.
Right.
And so he's referring to, he will be above God himself. And the clouds represents the saints, the four categories of saints
right
there. And so here,
Old Testament, New Testament, tribulation, and the angels themselves.
Yeah, but it's an interesting thing, though, Joe, because, you see, if you take the U-G off of that, you've got Bama, B-A-M-A.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know what the definition of Bama is? High place, Joe.
Yeah, the high place.
Right. Now, the high place, the primary definition is heaven itself, Joe, is heaven itself. But the secondary definition is the high place where they offer up sacrifices. Now, Joe, if you go over to Ezekiel chapter 20, and if you read, say, Ezekiel chapter, starting with verse 29, read it
Ezekiel
through.
Ezekiel 20, okay.
Ezekiel 20. And read verse 29 through 31.
1 second, there we go. 29 through 31, all right. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Wherefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations?
Okay, so...
Me to go.
No. So here now, this is the word Bama. Now think about this. That's where they kill babies, where they murder babies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now it's the interesting thing, too, because... Remember how I've often said how Barack Obama's name, I noticed some things right away about those words, how his name was in the Bible, Joe.
Barack was like as lightning, right?
Right. Barack meant lightning. You're right. And for example, if you were to go over to, I believe it was, well, I think it's Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, and read verse 18.
Okay. 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Okay, so now he says, I beheld Satan as lightning. That word there in the Aramaic in the Greek, lightning is also is Barak. It's spelled Barak. B-A-R-A-K.
B-A-R-A-K.
Yeah. So listen, I beheld Satan as Barak fall from Bama.
From the heights.
Bama. That's Bama, no.
From heaven.
Right. Heaven.
Fall from heaven.
Right. The high place.
Lightning, yeah, Satan fall from heaven. That's
yeah.
Lightning.
I beheld Satan as Barak fall from heaven. There you go. Fall from, actually, and that word there in the Greek would be Obama. I beheld Satan as Barak fall from Bama, or heaven, fall from Bama. Barak Bama. You have Barak Bama in one verse. Does that tell you anything?
Yeah.
He tells you that he's...
The type and shadow of things to come, if not one.
Right. And so... Barack Obama is an antichrist. He is a real, real antichrist. And I still think to this day that he would have, in my opinion, if you were to ask me about the candidates for the antichrist, I would say that he'd have to be at the top of my list, okay, for a number of reasons. First of all, the antichrist comes from up out of the sea, which means what? He's a Gentile. The one who empowers him, comes from out of the land, the dirt, the sand. And that means he's a Jew, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Remember what Barack Obama told Jesse Jackson when Jesse Jackson told him, I want you to come and speak to my Rainbow Coalition. He said, I don't have time. Jackson says, you don't have time for me, Jesse Jackson. And he said, I don't need you. I have George Soros now. And so what does that tell you? In other words, here,
the one who claims to be a god backing me, giving me money for my transition of America.
Right. You think all those things are just kind of coincidental? Or are they types and shadows? Probably in the category types and shadows. No.
Shadows, but it could be either way.
Right.
Because, like Scripture tells us, we do not know the dates or time and places of things, but the Bible always gives us forerunners and shadows of things to come so that when it happens, we know for sure because it was preordained, right? And we were given warning.
And that's the amazing thing about the King James Bible, And I'll tell you why that is. You'll notice something there. It'll give you a word, like the word might be large, and then it'll talk about the same thing, maybe two verses. It'll repeat, but it'll use a different word, maybe giant or huge. In other words, so it's a teaching tool in a sense that it shows you that a large and huge would mean the same thing. And here I've noticed all through the scriptures, this is such a teaching tool, especially for people that might not understand. For example, you know, if you take a look at here in verse 8, where it talks to verse 8, yeah, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Well, the word feller there doesn't mean like what we talk about, a fellow, you know. With the word feller there means is a woodsman, a tree cutter. No, tree cutter, okay.
A tree cutter, yeah.
So, yeah, and so here it'll explain these things in a verse or two later. It'll use another definition. But anyhow, going back to this, let's go back to where we left off. Then he says this. He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Now listen to this, Joe. Okay. Remember, Satan is the power where all of these billionaires and trillionaires get their power, and that from Satan, he's their God. All the kings of the nations, even all of them in lie and glory, everyone at his own house. But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch. And as the remnant of those pit are slain, thrust through with a sword to go down to the stones of a pit.
The clothes of the dead bodies on the battlefield.
Right. But anyhow, what he's telling them that, like, you just had Queen Elizabeth, her funeral. That was some funeral. I mean, geez, how long did it last?
And, I don't know. I couldn't stand it. It was days and days of,
Well, but you see, but the...
You would have thought a god had died or something.
But
it was way overdone.
This is the point. And I've preached a lot of funerals in my days. I mean, I've preached a lot of funerals. And that is the time where people will come and they'll give eulogies and they'll remind you and they'll say things to honor you as you're deceased, to honor your memory, this and that. But Satan's not going to get that. He's not even going to get a burial. He's not going to have the honor of even having a burial.
No.
He's going to be cast right into a lake of fire someday, okay?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, that's the end of this passage because we're up against a hard break, and we'll be back right after this.
A strange sensation has seized the nation. Man, things are suddenly peculiarly odd. Instead of thugs and thieves of breaking down our doors, we now deplore the federal forfeiture squads, who have a blessing from our Congress to take a cut of everything they can steal. Here in the land of the free and the home of the brave, things have suddenly become unreal. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. They got new laws now, they're calling loan fraud. Looks like our law enforcement grew a new arm. You make misrepresentation on your loan application, you might just have to forfeit the farm. The crazy fact is, it's retroactive, which lets them loot your life historically. You may be dead in your grave, but if you did not behave, you might just forfeit up your family tree. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm. Please, please, federal policeman, sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. When you go breaking in through somebody's private front door, you do the Constitution bodily harm. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's farm.
The ATF and the FBI just hired the KGB. The ADL's got a list for sale,
but you're anti-Semitic if you call it a conspiracy.
Now how could they call it a conspiracy?
My widow mama, they stole her condo on another federal seizure forfeiture spree. She made the tragic mistake of renting to some reprobate they caught with drugs inside her property. They say her condo somehow is guilty. Now have you ever heard a condo confess? Here in the land of the free and the home of the slave, it's a tangled legal web of a mess. So please, please, federal policeman, don't you be stealing my poor mama's estate. Please, please, federal policeman, now this is 10 times worse than Whitewater Gate. Before you pass right on through somebody's private front door, you better check that oath of office you take. Seizing my poor daddy's farm. Sometimes I wonder just whose side are you on. So please, please.
please, federal policeman, please leave my private property alone. Please, please, federal policeman, you got no jurisdiction here in my home. Please, please, federal policeman, don't you be seizing my poor daddy's phone.
And those that were with him, I believe the seven that were with him, for obeying God. And, Joe, we need to start this program out tonight with an imprecatory prayer. And you know what Joe Obama did here just about a week back with or so with Kamala Harris, where they signed that executive order declaring Christians, pro-life Christians, as terrorists. And so listen, and I'm asking this, and I'm going to ask them, even if it takes me 5 minutes to get the people out there listening to me, to listen, to understand, it's important that you have to, if you have to believe, listen, you have to believe what God's Word, the Bible, tells you. And God's Word, the Bible, makes it very clear, there's power in prayer, there's power in prayer. God listens. In fact, he says, my eyes will be attentive and my ears will be open to the things, the prayers that are said. And when he was referring to that in church, but right here on this radio program, folks, I don't care where you are out there tonight, the Lord knows whether or not you're praying with us or no. And so
yes.
there's power in prayer, and every one of you listening to me are going to need prayer. Now, Paul Vaughn and his family.
Can I interrupt you a sec? I want to remind people what the church is. The church is the living body. We are called lively stones, the living stones that are built upon the cornerstone of Christ. The living stones build a living church that worships the living, risen Lord. That is the true definition of the church. So all of you out there who are born-again believers are the church. And when we pray, whether it's over the radio or not, if we're united in our hearts and minds, the church is at prayer.
All right, with that, I'm going to lead in a prayer, and I ask for all of you to agree with me in this prayer, because we would ask, first of all, we're going to ask the good Lord to intervene on the behalf of all of the pro-lifers, all of those out there that are being persecuted. I know from experience, because for 50 years I was active in the pro-life movement, and I was arrested many times, and went to court many times. I was shot at on three different occasions. They tried to run me over. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. I got poisoned once. I was attacked several times. But you know what? That, as the Apostle Paul said, that's hardly worth mentioning, considering, you know, the rewards you're going to get in glory for this. But I did it. Not because I'm a great human being. I did it because it's the right thing to do. Because it's the right thing to do. And God's Word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the one thing God demands more than anything else is obedience, And that's why I did it. I did it because it was the right thing to do, to try to save those innocent babies. In fact, the Bible demands that you rescue those being led to slaughter and drawn into death. And the Bible says that there'll be no excuse that you'll have. It was you stand before God, and he asked you on that day, what were you doing when they were killing my babies? The only answer acceptable is all that I could to stop it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, I want to hold up this wicked, wicked Joe Biden. Lord, this wicked Joe Biden, he wasn't so bold, he wasn't so brave 20 years ago when I chased him down the hallway of the Senate building. Because when he said that not everybody's pro-life, and I told him, you were. I said, God's pro-life. And then I could tell, Lord, even then, you know, that with a red face, he had that red face. And Lord, I don't know for a fact, but I would not be at all. I would definitely not be surprised to find that he had paid for a number of women to kill their babies through abortion. It wouldn't surprise me a bit, because he's a wicked man. He's a wicked man. He's an ungodly and an evil man. And Lord God, here, his own daughter has accused him of pedophilia. And he had a diary too, Lord, just like, you know, she had a diary, and Joe was found out. And Lord, I just would ask, Lord God, Joe refuses to repent. He refuses. So, Lord, I would pray, Father God, Lord, that if he won't repent, and Lord, you know your perfect will, that he either repents of his wickedness and avoids that burning lake of fire, that he repents and he learns not to burn, Lord, or you remove him. You remove him as soon as possible, because the longer he's alive, the more innocent children will die. And the Lord, the same thing goes for Kamala Harris, Kamala Harris we call her. She's an unclean woman, a very, very wicked, unclean woman. She slipped her way up in politics, and very unclean, and she's a heartless. And Jeremiah 2, 43, it talks about the bloody women whose skirts are filled with the blood of the innocent, and that's Kamala Harris. She's a bloody woman, an unclean woman. And Lord, so I would ask too, Father God, that you would remove that wicked woman. That wicked woman. And Lord, for those out there that come and storm, Lord, Paul Vaughn and those were arrested for obeying you, they were rescuing those being led to slaughter and drawn to death. My prayer, Father God, is, Lord, because you see those police officers that came to arrest them, those officers ought to understand something. That your word, God's word, is law. That your word, God's word, is law. And my prayer is this, Father God, Lord, that those bloody men repent and refuse to obey any more unlawful orders. That they either repent, Lord, and refuse to obey any more unlawful orders. Lord, or that you would have their children ashamed of them. The children would be ashamed of them and ask them why they don't obey God. Why are you afraid of Joe Biden more than God? And tell them that they're ashamed of them for what they do. And Lord, that their neighbors and their families and the church would tell them that they need to obey God and not such a corrupt, evil government. And Lord, too, for Chris Ray, Lord, I pray that you wipe that smirk off his face. You remove that arrogance. He's an arrogant, ungodly, unclean man. And Lord, and for giving the orders to these cops, and Lord, how they have tarnished the name of the agency, how they have made the once we're position of authority where you could lift your head up and not be ashamed, when they have made that now something to be ashamed of. And the good cops, the clean ones, the good ones out there, they have to bear the burden, they have to bear the shame of the dirty cops, those that dress up, the dirty 30, and they go out in the middle of the night and they run into houses, they break doors down, and they stick guns in the faces of little children. And they get off that way because they're little men, they're very little men. They've got no honor, no integrity. Lord, that you would bring them to repentance, that they would repent for doing that and ask for forgiveness and turn around and say, no, you know, no more. No more. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to be better than that. These things we ask, Lord, and they would bring Chris Ray to repentance and Merrick Garland, a dirty, angry. He's a very angry, very angry. He's angry because he was turned down to be on that Supreme Court, not because of any reason other than his voting record, his extreme left-wing, godless, godless voting record. And he blames America. He wants to get even by hurting this country. And bring that bloody man to repentance too, Lord. And then one last thing, Lord. I ask that you would just would bless the Vaughn family and all of those and all the pro-lifers and hedge them around about, Lord. And then, Lord, I would pray that you would give the pastors the courage, that you would give the pastors out there the courage, Lord, to lead the people in the prayer just like we just did here. Because we know, Lord, if enough of the pastors had the courage to stand up and do the right thing and be men, and the people were to follow them, how quickly things would turn around. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen.
There you go. Joe, we got some lightning round stuff.
Tell a little more of that story about Paul Vaughn.
Yeah, go ahead.
Paul's wife, and I don't know that it gave her name, videotaped a big part of this. And what happened, there were about five or six agents came to the house, and they were wearing standard combat gear, the chicken plates, we call them. And they were all carrying rifles and, you know, intimidating. They didn't show any badges. When the wife questioned, said, who are you, and why are you taking my husband? They wouldn't show any badges. The one man demanded to come into the house, and she said, no, you're not coming into my house. My 11 kids in here scare them. And so they wouldn't talk to her. They would not say why he was being arrested. She wanted to know names of the agents that were taking her husband away. They wouldn't give names, show the badges. And what they were arresting him for was something that took place a year and a half ago. And the interesting thing, it happened in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, an abortion clinic. One of the elderly people there involved, I think there were 369 other members with Mr. Vaughn, Paul, they were sitting down singing hymns, and they were doing civil disobedience, but they didn't have any guns, any knives, any bats. They had hymnals. They were singing hymns. And it was all, you can go on the Internet and see the video. But DOJ, the indictment read that these older men and women, there weren't any youngsters in the crowd, they were all older, used force and physical obstruction to injure, intimidate, and interfere with the employees of the clinic. Physically used force, singing hymns is a force, injury by hymn. I mean, I was watching this. And then they showed the nine photos of these people, all these older gentle Christians, as associates. Some of the Biden voters that have committed murder are facing less time in jail. They want to charge this man. They want to put him in jail for up to 11 years. Yep, the charge. The FBI, Biden administration came out and said he should spend up to 11 years in prison for singing hymns and sitting on the floor of an abortion clinic, and yet people, we've seen the violence on the street. People have committed murder are getting out in less than 11 years, and all they did was sing hymns at a clinic. Folks, this is no longer America. We are past our constitutional republic. We're worse than a banana republic. This is the kind of thing that happens in a communist state. And if you don't vote these bums out of office this fall, America will fall. Because this is a picture of your future. This is what will happen to every Christian that protests, every Christian that stands up and defends right to life, every Christian that doesn't want their children turned into transgendered. You name all the things that are going on. If we don't stop it now, I don't think we'll be able to. You disagree with me at all, Pastor?
No, and again, Joe, look, see, here's the major point is this, that as a Christian, God has given us three main missions. We've talked about this many times. The first one, Joe, obviously, is the Great Commission. But the second mission is, from Genesis to Revelation, God demands that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience. So it's not an elective, Joe. We are required, we are commanded as Christians to resist tyranny to death. He tells you unto blood. And so, it's not only that, but you have to understand something. As Christians here in America today, if we're going to have any justice, we're going to have to provide it for ourselves. We're not going to get it from the Antichrist system. It's the Antichrist system.
The Christians can no longer sit back and be observers. They have to get out and run to the battle, fight the fight. And it has to start with everybody, every Christian voting, everybody getting involved in your elections on the local level, your cities, your counties, your state. We've got to take back, one city, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. And the only people who are going to do it are you, the citizens of this country. Oh, you didn't give number three, just in case somebody's taking notes.
Number three is that we are to hold to the traditions of the apostles and stand fast, stand our ground, not back up. We're not to give up any ground. So there you go. 2 Thessalonians 2.
Hold fast, right, till Jesus comes.
Right, absolutely. We are to stand fast and to occupy and not to give up ground. So, now, he never said it was going to be an easy thing. He just said, do it, right?
Right.
And so, anyhow, you ready for lightning rounds? You know, I've got 100 articles here.
And
so,
all?
Yeah, we
I
have to get through.
Close to that, but
so,
all right.
So I'll do one.
You get them in all week.
All right, now I can do one, you can do one. I can do all one, right. And you can do one. Then we have a very, very interesting clip we're going to go to, Lord's willing, right at the top of the hour. So, Putin's puppet in 2020, Chucky Schumer, and the Democrats blocked President Trump's proposal to buy American oil at $24 a barrel and crushed the American economy. Can you understand that, Joe? Today I went to the gas station, Joe. Now, I have a 30-gallon tank on my car. I got 25 gallons of gas. That 25 gallons of gas cost me $100. $100. Joe, when President Trump was in office, that very same amount of gas, instead of paying $4 a gallon, I would have been paying $2. And what was it? I was paying $2.38 a gallon.
38 cents, yeah. 38 to 40 cents.
Yeah, a gallon. And so that's a whole lot less than $4 a gallon, right, Joe?
That's a lot less.
And so, but this is being done on purpose. It's being done on purpose to reduce America to third world status. Joe Obama Biden is in there to destroy this country. He's the enemy of the country. And so, go ahead. Let me just read.
I got two to follow up. I remember back in, and this is from my own notes, September 2019, candidate Biden talking to a activist there on the climate change. I guarantee you, we're going to end fossil fuel. Quote, Joe Biden. And he's doing everything he can to make that happen, and as soon as possible. The only thing is they haven't figured out what's going to replace the energy needs, but they don't care about that. You see, America, one of the problems is we haven't built a new oil refinery in over 20 years. Our refineries are running almost at capacity. They're running, from what I've read, at 97% or more in June 2022. That is phenomenal. Most factories cannot run at that high a level of production, 97%. And we can't keep up because a lot of factories were put out of business, destroyed by government, stopped by government. And nothing has been replaced in 20 years, and it is only going to get much worse.
Joe, bureaucrats authorized to pack heat now outnumber armed Marines. We're here from the IRS. We're here to help you. There's a big poster sign up on the side of a building, and they're carrying M16s or whatever. But here,
automatic rifles.
It's an article by Mark Hemingway. When Congress authorized $80 billion this year to beef up Internal Revenue Service enforcement and staffing, Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy invoked the language of war to warn that Democrats' new army of 87,000 IRS agents will be coming for you. Now, their job is to totally eliminate the middle class. They're going to go after small businesses first. They got to reduce. Remember, they got a deal with the big woke corporations to eliminate the small businesses. And, you know, most people out there aren't smart enough, and they won't even put the effort in. Joe, I always will try to shop locally, and I will always go to small mom-and-pop businesses whenever I can buy whatever, because even if it costs more money, I'll do that. Because I'm smart, and I understand that Walmart doesn't really care anything about me at all, okay? And so here now, to eliminate, the whole point is to eliminate the middle class, and then they're going to go after churches. Then they're going to have, Obama, he's already said churches should be paying taxes. A video quickly went viral, racking up millions of viewers, purporting to show a bunch of clumsy bureaucrats receiving firearms trainings and prompting alarms that the IRS would be engaged in military-style raids of ordinary taxpayers. The GOP claims they are widely attacked as exaggerations. GOP claims were attacked as exaggerations, since the video through the IRS didn't show official agents training. But the criticism has shed light on a growing trend, the rapid arming of the federal government. This is Obama's private army, and they are now...
We were on the air. I remember we were telling people Obama said he wanted a private army as powerful as the military, and we were telling people, look what he's doing now. He was laying the groundwork, starting the process at the time, and Biden has continued, where now it has come to fruition. There are over 200,000 federal bureaucrats have the authority to carry guns, make arrests, and folks, that is more than the Marine Corps. There are only 186,000 men in the United States Marine Corps.
And there's fewer all the time because they're leaving.
You're right. They're joining the IRS, but they're leaving the military. They don't want to be part of this woke.
A report issued last year by the Watchdog Group opened the books. The militarization of the U.S. executive agencies found that more than 200,000 federal bureaucrats have been granted authority to carry guns and make arrests, and more than 186,000 Americans serving as the U.S. Marine Corps. 103 executive agencies outside of the Department of Defense spent $2.7 billion on guns and ammunition and military-style equipment between fiscal year 2006 and 2019. Again, Joe...
Think about that. 103 federal agencies. I remember back when you and I were first talking, they were giving... they were giving weapons and permits to people in the Department of Education, the Department of Agriculture, the Environmental Protection Agency. We were telling people this many, many years ago.
Yep.
And here, looks like it was even worse than we said then. Of course, we knew that over time it always gets worse, right?
Yeah. We're coming up to... a hard break. So when we come back from this break, there's going to be a clip. And this is what we talked about back when Daddy Bush, the first Bush, was in office. Think about this. That's how long ago it's been. But we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A whole lot more to come tonight.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.